Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 210 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. And today is an oddments episode. It's the June oddments for 2021, and it's one of my favourite episodes of the month. It's for the bits and bobs, all the little loose ends and things that don't perhaps warrant an entire episode, but do warrant a small segment. They all go in here, along with getting you guys caught up on the happenings here on my homestead. And I hope you are all enjoying in the Northern Hemisphere what is, you know, the middle of summer now. It's, you know, we've had the summer solstice this week, so the daylight hours are as long as they're going to get. They're going to start closing in now, but don't worry about that. We've got the best of the weather in front of us. And for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, you can look forward to more and more daylight and gradually now coming into spring sooner rather than later. So it's a fantastic time of year. And I think I'm going to start with just a thank you to our latest patron, and that is Karen Todd. Karen Todd has joined our small but growing number of patrons over at patreon.com, and as always, I just want to share my genuine thanks and heartfelt appreciation for everyone, the new and old patrons that choose to support the show in that way. You really, really do make a difference, I promise you. And if you would like to be like Karen and our other patrons, then you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Next up, I've got a little bit of listener feedback. I've got two emails that I wanted to share with you. And the first one is actually from Karen's son, who is also a patron, and that is Alex Todd. And he writes, and he's writing after, so Alex is in a bit of a time warp. He's starting at the beginning. He's listened to a few really recent episodes, but mostly he's going through the podcast in order. And I think he's about a year behind, something like that. I'm not sure. And slowly catching up. And he's just finished writing an email in response to my ethical eating podcasts. And he writes, "Dear Carl, in this podcast you asked for ideas to address the problem of lower income people having the means to purchase ethically raised and butchered meats. It may seem a simple answer, but I would argue that what you're doing with your podcast and more interest from the general populace on the subject of locally grown and raised food is the way out. You simply have to go back in history or even to some of the more rural parts of your country. Before food became a commercial industry, I would say the majority of farms were ethical, at least 80%. So a push towards returning to those ways and decommercializing the industry, or at least making it not the main source of diet in the society, is where we need to go. My eyes were first opened to this viewpoint during my marathon training. I was extremely curious how Brendan Brazier, a vegan Ironman triathlete, could operate his body to such a level on just vegetables. I read three of his books, which are the Thrive series, and learned a lot. While I'm not vegan, I love a good bacon cheeseburger. I did become aware of the fact that we as a society have lost control on this subject, and we simply need to regain it. I would resolve a lot of the world issues on the subject of it. Sorry, it would resolve a lot of the world issues on the subject of food. Give a man a meal and he eats for a day. Teach him how to ethically grow, raise, forage for, and produce one, and he'll never go hungry. Foraging could also play a huge part in lower income people's diets if it was simply taught. It's a lost technology for so many. All the best, Alex." Thank you ever so much, Alex, for writing in. And it really is a quandary that I, you know, an ethical quandary that I find myself challenged by quite a lot, because I am under no illusions how fortunate I am to have access to the space that I have here, to be able to effectively farm probably around 4 acres of the land we have here and to use it within reason to, you know, do what I want with. There are some limits, as we've found out recently. You know, we're not allowed to keep the pigs anymore and what have you. But, you know, generally speaking, I've got access to enough land that I can grow my own food, and not everybody has that. And this idea that, you know, I'm trying to espouse the virtues of a way of living, and I'm trying to show that people can do it. And at the same time, in the back of my mind, you know, I'm acutely aware that not everybody does have the access to this land. And that's a real ethical dilemma of me, on me. And it raises a couple of really interesting and important thoughts and ideas that I think are worth expanding on. And the first of which is, you know, this idea that I am fully aware of how privileged I am to have access to this land, and not everybody does. And with that comes, for me, a certain responsibility to utilize it, not waste it, not waste this amazing opportunity of abundance that I have. And I think I'm doing that to the best of my ability. And the other side of that coin is to share with people, as I try and do on both the podcast here and also the YouTube channel, that you can do this too, and you don't need this amount of land to make some steps towards self-sufficiency. You don't need a huge acreage to grow some of your own food, for example, or to keep some chickens and have your own eggs. So, you know, I'm acutely aware of both, on one hand, this huge advantage I have over, you know, the vast majority of the world's population. And on the other hand, I'm very much trying to keep everything I do within reach of everybody. And, you know, even if some of the things, you know, not everybody has space to keep pigs, I'm aware of that. So, you know, there are some things that are going to be off the table for some people, but I'm trying to make everything as accessible as one possibly can, given the constraints that we're working under as a world, you know. So those are the two parts of that coin. And also, you know, I think that there is then that stems from this is this whole other ethical concern of the cost of some of the things that I say are important to me, like knowing where your meat comes from. And if you don't have the space that I have, then there is a definite tax on that, however you want to word it, think about it. You know, the short case for the matter is that, you know, if you want to buy locally raised, ethically raised meat with real provenance so that you can understand and get behind versus factory farmed meat, then you're going to pay more for it. And again, that's not something that everybody necessarily has the ability to do. Or if they do, they're going to have to make sacrifices elsewhere. And I don't have a solution, hence what I mentioned on that podcast. And I really appreciate your words there, Alex, you know, and what you say on that subject about how this podcast is part of the solution. And I do feel that. I do feel that that's what I'm trying to achieve. But at the same time, you know, I'm not aware. It's not lost on me that I'm in a very privileged position. And, you know, saying that it's important to me to know where my food comes from, for some people that comes with a financial cost that perhaps is one that is beyond their reach. And again, you know, I'm going around in circles a little bit because I don't have an answer, and that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't have an answer, but it is the thing that I'm kind of most sensitive to insofar as ethical arguments and where we are as a species and where it would be nice, you know, the direction of travel I'd like to see us move towards. So there you go. I can't tie a nice bow on that thought process, unfortunately, and I'm aware that that ramble will be a little bit unsatisfying to some, but there you go. That's where I am. The next email that I wanted to read is from Donna Moran, and she writes, I've just listened to episode 210, so perhaps I misnumbered that episode. That should have been episode 206, I think, but either way, about homesteading while older. That's something I know about, although I know enough to know I'm not an expert. My husband and I are older than your guest on that episode, and we do try and live as self-sufficiently as possible. I want to let everyone know that you can be more self-sufficient, even if you are older. I enjoy listening about your upcoming September adventure of eating only what you produce, as that is my goal also. We live off-grid, except for cell phones, Satellite internet and propane. The propane is mostly used for heating water. I'd love to figure out a solar water heater. A good amount of our food comes from what we grow. I was the one who asked how you made goat butter in episode 200. Ask me anything. We have goats and use the milk for fresh drinking, yogurt, ice cream and some cheeses. But butter has eluded me, although I now have a pint jar in the freezer and am collecting cream as you mentioned. So thank you for that suggestion. I don't want to bore you with my story, but do want you to know that I take you along with me while I work in the garden growing our food. So again, thank you ever so much for a beautifully composed email and just a lovely sentiment, Donna. It's great to know that I'm out there keeping you company while you're working your garden. And for anyone who wants to share their story, I mean, by all means, I love it when people send in emails, so do get in touch that way. But on the Facebook group, as a response to the my origin story episode, where I kind of went into a little bit more candid depth about my background than I have generally across the podcasts, as a response to that, someone made, I think it was Elliot Hughes, but forgive me if I'm wrong and I've got the wrong person, made a fantastic, lovely post on the Facebook group, just saying how much he enjoyed that episode and, you know, encouraged others to share theirs. And it's fantastic to see lots and lots of people have gone and basically put a short version of their origin story up on that post. So I encourage you all to go over and do the same. And I know that Donna, whose email I've just read, is one such person who has gone and done that. So, yeah, I encourage you all, if you're not already there, to hop on to our Facebook group on the Self-Sufficient Hub Facebook group, because it's a beautiful community there, really supportive, lots of knowledge, really wide array of skill sets over there. But yeah, come in and join the conversation. And if you're already there, then you know, post some pictures of your garden, let me know what you've been getting up to. It's a fantastic group. It's growing all the time. Almost every day someone new is coming into the group. There's a few hundred of us in there now, and long may it continue. So with that, I'm going to take a short break and we'll be back in a second. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. So over the last 3 weeks, I've been doing a live stream on YouTube on Sunday at noon. One of them I had to move to Saturday, but I think the sort of fixed time period is going to be noon UK time on Sundays. And if you are already following my YouTube channel, you're probably aware of this. But if you're not, then please do think about coming and joining one. And if you haven't met up for one of the live streams yet, then again, please do think about coming in. It's been phenomenal, the support I've had. And the thing about a live stream is it really gives me a chance to interact with you guys. It's fantastic to see all the messages that come in real time. And I have the chance to, like I say, really interact with you and answer your questions in real time. Now, one thing I did want to say is just that the support that you guys all give me is absolutely mind-blowing, and I'm lost for words, and I cannot articulate well enough my appreciation and thanks to all of you. And I know some of you take supporting me and what I'm doing really quite seriously, and I cannot put into words how appreciative I am of that. But I don't want anyone to feel put out. I know a few people have sort of, they've got in touch sort of apologizing that they couldn't make the live streams. And I mean, I love the sentiment and I love the emails and I love the contact, but I just don't want anyone to feel bad if they can't do whatever a certain thing is to support the show. I know I've had a few people email me say, oh, I'd love to be a patron, but I can't afford it and things like that. And I really don't want anyone to feel obliged to do anything. I want this to be an organic community that grows and that serves itself. And I want everybody somebody to be extracting value from it. And if you happen to, you know, feel that you extract enough value that it warrants financial support through Patreon, then that's amazing and fantastic. And it makes a huge difference to me. But if you're not in a position to do that, I really don't want you to feel bad and that, you know, it's a responsibility of yours. It isn't. It's, you know, no one has any responsibilities to me. They're all optional ways that you can show your support. And just by downloading the podcast, you're supporting the show, you know, by tuning in and watching the videos that I put on YouTube, by pressing that like button, all of the things that we as creators feel forced to bang on about, you know, all of those things support the show. So, you know, thank you guys. And the support that I've had for the live streams has just been phenomenal. That, you know, I was really nervous when I did the first one because I had no frame of expectation. I had no frame of reference within which to judge what would be a success and what would be a failure. And I said to my wife, Jackie, beforehand, I said, if three people turn up, then, you know, that's okay. Any less than three and I'll be disappointed, and, you know, anything more than three and we'll be really happy. And there were, on the first one, there were 19 people there, and it's tiny numbers compared to some of these huge YouTube channels, but I'm still very much at the start of my journey. So it was just absolutely mind-blowing and a fantastic experience. And like I say, going forward, there'll be a YouTube live at noon on Sundays, UK time. You will have to do your own research for what time that is for you, because there's too many times zones for me to list them all. But if you can come in and say hello at noon on Sunday, it would be awesome. And like I say, they're really fun. They are easily, I think, my favorite type of video all week long. They're just, you know, a lot of fun. Sometimes we're out in the garden, sometimes we're in the house. It all depends on what the weather's doing and what the reception is like for our 4G here. Now, last Sunday, we had a bit of a technical error, but I have actually sourced what the problem was, and it was my fault. It was not, as I had blamed on the day, the internet and YouTube conspiring against me. It was my fault. It was a setting that I had in the wrong setting, if you like. And yeah, anyway, that's a problem that won't happen again, but it did mean that I was forced to delay the live stream by an hour, but hopefully that won't happen in the future. So there you go. That's all the sort of show-based stuff out the way. What other things have I been up to? Well, I've had a birthday and a Father's Day since my last Oddments episode, and I've been given some great gifts. They include seedlings, a little foldable trowel, a little foldable garden trowel that sits on a pouch on your belt. And the idea behind this, and it is fantastic, is for foraging. When I'm teaching my foraging courses, so if you're out foraging, you're not allowed to dig up any plants unless you have the landowner permission, but a lot of the courses I give are actually on private land where we are allowed to do this, and I quite often find myself digging up things like wood avens or wild garlic to show the bulb, and I end up doing it with my knife, which obviously blunts it quite nastily. So now I have this little folding trowel that I can wear on my belt when I lead foraging courses and, you know, share what's below the ground without damaging my knife. So that was fantastic. My son got me a fire steel. A little, what do you call them? Oh, I can't remember. Where you a striker with a flint and a steel that you strike, but it's got some like little cotton wicks that come out around it, so you can dip them in some, well, whatever you want, really. You know, petrol, I suppose, at one end of the scale, or Vaseline at the other end. And the idea is you've got this kind of reusable match, and I absolutely love that idea. I've also had new collars for my goats, so they've gone on, and they are looking beautiful and smart, very fancy looking goats now. So yeah, just a great little period for me. I'm in the process of repairing our tractor because that broke down on Father's Day, and I've had to order a new belt. I'm recording this a few days before it goes out, so by the time it goes out, hopefully that'll be up and running again. But we're going to be doing a bit more tractor repairs, and on top of that, it's just been, you know, a great time to be working in the vegetable garden. We've been doing lots of little bits of weeding, you know, little and often. I do have bindweed in my bed, which is a real problem that I'm gradually getting better at dealing with. And we just need to keep pulling it and weakening those roots, and eventually we'll get on top of it. It's never going to go away because we've got a little bit of sort of dead land just behind the vegetable garden, a really thick hedgerow, and the bindweed is in there and established right in the ground, and it's going to keep coming from there. But I'm getting rid of it elsewhere in the bed. I think in previous seasons, I've made mistakes and maybe hoed when I should have pulled, and I've just split it up, and there's a lot more through the bed than there would otherwise have been. But we are making progress and gradually dealing with it. Lots and lots of sowing, as you guys will know. We've sown most of our crops for overwintering now, but we're doing lots of succession sowing all the time as well. And other than that, you know, everything's going really well. The ground's looking good. We've got loads and loads of feed growing everywhere for our goats. We're feeding our goats from our hedges now. We're not buying in any hay. And yeah, it's just a great time of year to be working with nature, working with your garden. We're harvesting as well. We're harvesting all sorts. We're harvesting beetroot, spinach, lettuce, spring onions, we're harvesting beans, peas. All these things now are really starting to produce and kick on. We're still harvesting asparagus, and we're having a ridiculously good year for strawberries as well. We're bringing in a punnet of strawberries every single day. So we're using them to make lots of compote and things that we can then store to flavour our yogurts and ice creams right through the rest of the year. So harvest-wise, we are definitely, definitely up and running, and it feels good. With our late spring, you know, with things being really quite cold quite late, we actually ran out of even our frozen vegetables. We had to buy vegetables for a few weeks, which is something I don't really like doing, but we had to for a couple of weeks. But we're through that now, and we won't be buying vegetables ever again is the plan. Everything is subject to change. Never say never. But I think we are looking at our biggest yielding year ever on the vegetable garden. I've got a vegetable garden tour that I am filming that may or may not be out before this podcast, but it'll be going out around the same time. And yeah, I think this will be our biggest ever yielding year. We've extended our beds, as you probably know from last year. We've got about a quarter to a third extra bed, and it is full. It is absolutely rammed full. About half of it was given to potatoes. And again, we're just starting to harvest the first of those now. And yeah, I'm hoping that we won't be needing to buy potatoes again for a very long time as well. With a view to my September challenge, we decided to give really quite a bit of extra space to potatoes this year. And yeah, there you go. I'm also going to be trying my hand. There's so many things I keep saying I'm going to be doing, but hopefully soon I'm going to be making goat's milk soap, and hopefully soon I'm going to be making homemade pasta, because both of those things are something that have been on my list for a little while, and hopefully we'll be getting around to it. I did also finally make our elderflower cordial, and that's now in storage, or most of it's in storage apart from the bottle that we're currently using, and I made a video on that, so if you're interested you can go and check that out on our YouTube channel. But that, I think, brings you guys up to speed. Thanks ever so much again for tuning in. Thank you for all the ways that you support the podcast. Thank you for all the ways that you support what I'm doing here, and I look forward to speaking to you guys really soon. Cheers. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.